Hello, hello, Central Ohio, and welcome to another episode of Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. We apologize for our three-week hiatus, but as our executive producer was out of the country, we were rather at a disadvantage. But Christy is back, and so are we, so you can all let go of that breath that I know you were holding. Tonight, we're meeting the warm weather head-on and embracing the Columbus and Central Ohio park systems. Now, I bet you didn't know this, but Franklin County has over 230 parks scattered throughout it. Nestled within the heart of downtown or sprawling out over vast expanses of forest and prairie and just about everywhere in between. So, with all these parks, how can you decide which one is the closest to or the best for you? Well, one of our own reporters asked that very question. And when she got no answer, Nicole Jackson decided to do something about it. Now, those of you who follow us regularly know Nicole as one of our top reporters and an avid birder. But she's also just as amazing at organizing and hosting events that get people of all ages outdoors. And when she learned that there was no real way to help people throughout the Columbus area find and enjoy parks, she decided to take action. And thus, Learn Your Park CBUS was born. Throughout the next few weeks, we'll be highlighting the Learn Your Park event, which took place this year at the Scioto Autobahn Park, and all of the great things that happened at it. We're hoping to inspire some of you to plug into that GPS and take a trip to uncharted lands. Well, uncharted for you, at least. So let's get introduced by someone who's been helping out with the event for years, Ariel, who finds herself this week's Positively Charged.
No, I'm positive.
I'm positive.
I'm positive.
So I'm here now with Ariel, who is one of the organizers for the Learn Your Park CBUS event. So Ariel, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am a fourth-year student at OSU in the SENR program. I'm studying wildlife science with the specialization in wildlife science, and then I'm doing natural resource management. And I've been working with Nicole for about 3 years on this program just to get kids outside and everything. So just excited to be here.
So tell us about the event.
It's through Children Nature's Network, and it's through the Metro Parks for this year. We try to do it at different parks and everything throughout the each year annually. But this one is Learn Your Park, which is trying to get families outside just to learn where their parks are located near their houses, just what to do outside, and to know that you don't have to be in the house. It's not just video games. It's about being outside and not being afraid of nature.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of things were planned for today?
Well, the big ones were the rock climbing wall. They had the kayaking. We had a wetlands discovery where the kids, well, unfortunately it rained, but the kids can go outside into the pond and see the little tadpoles and just see different microorganisms. And then we also had some geocaching, mapping. There was a lot of hiking going on as well, wildflower hikes, birding, a lot of things to do just to explore nature. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then there were some different booths here with Columbus Outdoor Pursuits.
Yes.
And Leave No Trace.
Yes.
So they've been part of this as well.
Yes. COP was new this year. Leave No Trace was new this year as well. So hopefully we'll be back next year as well to help us to promote this again.
So you said this was the third year of this event?
Yep. Let's see, 2016, so 2013 was the first year. We started off small, and we keep expanding every year.
Where was it in other years? What other parks?
We went last year for the Far East Rec Center, and then we also, the year before that, was the first year with the Franklin Conservatory as well. It's kind of downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this will be an annual event then?
Yes, we invite everyone to come out. We're definitely going to just do bigger and better things every year, just trying to expand it and get more people outside.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Advisor, am I?
No, I haven't.
Once again, that was Christy Leakeys and Ariel with our Positively Charged. Now, unfortunately, it was raining the day of this particular event, so we didn't get to see or record everything that was supposed to happen. But we did get to see some feathers. Duck feathers, to be specific, from some of the many species of duck that live right here in Ohio. Now we're going to highlight them in a new segment, EcoBeat, which we'll use to address topics of an environmental nature. Get it? Environmental nature? Okay, well, I think I'm funny. Here's Katie with the very first EcoBeat.
This is Christy with Youth Beat Radio, and I'm here today on this rainy Saturday afternoon at the Learn Your Parks Columbus C-Bus event, and I'm here talking to Katie, who is doing a display here with various, it looks like, feathers. So tell us about yourself, Katie.
Well, my name's Katie. I am an evolution and ecology major at Ohio State. I'm doing some volunteer work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We just set up a little activity here at the Scioto Audubon Wetlands. We're showing some kids some of the wings of ducks that are commonly found in wetlands around this area. We got some tadpoles for them, a few fun activities in the wetland. There's just a big group of kids here having a really good time.
Okay, cool. So let's see. What kinds of birds are these from?
Well, this one's actually, both of these feathers are from shovelers. This one's a female, this one's a male. Let's see, this one here is from a blue-winged teal. There's a female mallard wing over here. And yeah, that's just a few of the many ones that we have.
So these are all from ducks?
Yep, all from ducks.
Cool, and they all can be found here?
Yep, here in wetlands.
Okay, so what would you advise if people wanted to learn more about wildlife and ducks and birds and waterfowl here in the area?
I would say definitely try to get in touch with organizations that work in that kind of area. I've gotten really involved with the Columbus Sierra Club lately. I've learned a lot about that, done some research and see some volunteer work at the OSU Wetlands. So it's really just finding organizations and maybe even like the School of Environment and Natural Resources. Just people that are doing work that you care about.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Now, if you folks are interested in seeing some of the species that Katie mentioned up close and personal, check out Glacier Ridge Metro Parks. Its unique, easy-to-view wetlands are home to all kinds of ducks, songbirds, and more. All right, so we've been hearing a whole lot about Learn Your Park C-Bus, but when do we get to know the good stuff? When do we get to hear, straight from the horse's mouth, the who, what, when, where, why, and how of this event? Well, right now, actually. Nicole Jackson, this event's creator and organizer, is a remarkable woman who I am very privileged to work with. An amazing sense of dedication and purpose, as well as an unsurpassable work ethic and drive, assure that all of her events are major successes, and Learn Your Park is no different. This lovely lady was kind enough to take time away from her always frantic schedule to talk with our executive producer, Christy Lakeys, about this event and what it aims to do.
Hi, this is Christy with Youth Beat, and I'm here with Nicole Jackson, who is the lead organizer for the Learn Your Park C-Bus event. So, welcome to the show, Nicole. And Nicole is one of our regular reporters on the show. So, wanted to find out more about the event and what led you to create this event.
Hi, thanks for having me, Christy. So, I actually started my first event in 2013. I was applying for to become a natural leader through the Children in Nature Network. They have an initiative called the Natural Leaders Network, which trains millennials from the ages of 18 to 29 to do outreach work and get their communities connected to the outdoors and nature. So it all started with the legacy camp that they had in 2013, which was in Washington State at Bainbridge Island. And I was able to get my training there to actually put together the events that I've been doing for the past 2 years. And the first one started at Franklin Park Rec Center, which is right next to Franklin Park Conservatory. And I wanted to bring together local organizations that support getting children and youth, as well as communities connected to the outdoors and nature. So I didn't have any experience with really planning events beforehand. It was more of just trial and error to see who I could connect with in Columbus and how I can get people outside the best way for them to get connected to nature. So kind of started with me just going to different places, for instance, which is how I met you, was one of the career fairs on campus, and I was able to meet Joanne Rebick, who works for the USDA Forest Service up in Delaware. And she definitely was on board to help out and tie in forestry content into the program that I wanted to put together for my event. So that was at Franklin Park Rec Center, and we had about, I would say, 50 people. And the next year, which was 2014, I ended up having my next event, which was called Let's Go Get Outside. And that was the same for 2013 at Far East Rec Center. So the weather was perfect. It was 70 degrees. We had Ohio Wildlife Center. We had U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We had someone from Third Hand Bike Co-op come and fix some of the bikes that were at the rec center that weren't usable before, and the kids got to ride those. We had a scavenger hunt, a wildlife hike. We had a raffle, so REI was one of the organizations that donated a backpack for our raffle, which was pretty cool because the family won that, and they were really excited about it. This year, I decided to call my event Learn Your Park Sea Bus because we have lots of parks in Columbus, Metro Parks, as well as Columbus Recreation and Parks Department, and I love going to visit the metro parks. We have, I believe, 18 different metro parks, and the one that stood out the most to me was Scioto Audubon Metro Park. It's right in the middle of the city. It used to be the old impound lot. A lot of people don't realize we have this green oasis right in the middle of Columbus. So I just thought, why not put together something where people can, you know, they're familiar with the metro parks, they can come and enjoy the space and find out, you know, something unique about Scioto Audubon. So I brought together some local partners. We had Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, which provided some of the activities such as rock climbing, map making, geocaching. We also had kayaking, bird watching, hiking, and there was someone from Columbus Outdoor Pursuits that had training for the Leave No Trace principles. So he set up a booth. His name is Ted. So we had a lot of things going on. And I also wanted to put together a BioBlitz dance, which I learned from my good friend John Griffith, who is part of the California Conservation Corps. And he put together this wonderful, you know, get outside and dance and enjoy nature dance routine called the BioBlitz dance, and he's had people send him videos of them doing this dance from, you know, places in Russia, Africa, and different states within the U.S. And I figured, you know, why not incorporate that into my event? So I had a group of second graders who were having a birthday party participate in the BioBlitz dance, and they really loved it. We had rain during the day, which kind of hindered some people from coming out, but that's why I want to continue doing these events, is because nature, you know, whether it be, you know, in the rain, out in the sun, it's windy, you're able to enjoy those treasures outdoors. We saw an eagle with food fly overhead over the registration booth. We had U.S. Fish and Wildlife find tadpoles for the kids to look at. I feel like being out in nature creates memories for not only children and youth, but for families. They're able to connect that park to a specific memory and be able to go back year after year or day after day and find something unique about that space that gets them outdoors. So if I can promote more of that, then I've done my job. So as far as the Children in Nature Network, they want to support communities getting outdoors and connected to nature and finding ways to combat nature deficit disorder, which is a term coined by Richard Louv. And he stresses how kids are so caught up in technology and being indoors and using devices instead of going outside and being in nature and finding that kind of balance between the two. So as a representative of the Children in Nature Network, I want to be able to get that message out to people and let them know that, you know, even if you're in your 40s, you can still go out and, you know, look under a rock for salamanders or, you know, do a hike or watch birds, as well as do that stuff with your kids. So,
well, and I loved how the event was rain or shine. So why is it important not to let weather get in the way of enjoying nature? And what can people do to enjoy nature, rain or shine, in heat and in cold?
I think we're so caught up in, as adults, letting those things hinder us from connecting to nature. But I think, you know, if it's raining, as long as you bring your umbrella or your rain jacket, you're still able to be outside and enjoy those things. The same with, you know, if it's too hot, you know, bringing water with you, wearing light clothes. So there's ways to not, you know, hinder yourself or be hesitant to get outside just because of the weather. And I think we should do that more instead of it being, okay, well, you know, it's yucky outside. I don't want to feel wet. I just want to be outside and enjoy it, and it's not going to be sunny every day, and be okay with that, and have your kids be okay with that too. Most kids are fine with whatever weather. You know, they want to play in mud. They want to play in the rain. But I think it's mostly how the adults think and keeping them from doing those activities and just promoting, you know, whatever the weather is, let's go out and enjoy nature.
And will you be holding an event like this again next year?
Yes, I'm actually planning right now as we speak, figuring out if I want to have something big or small, but I definitely want to connect again with the Rec, Columbus Rec and Parks Department. I feel like that's kind of our niche, and finding communities that don't have that exposure to getting outdoors on a regular basis, or connecting to nearby nature, so things that are, you know, close to them and they can still be able to enjoy it and not have to go far away. So yeah, I think I definitely want to have it at another rec center or a local park in Columbus, as well as making it, doing it during a warmer month, because Ohio, you never know what you're going to get, but I think having that flexibility of when you can do the event is crucial, because people feel like they that caters to them.
So if we want to learn more about the event and find out when it will be held again next time, how can the listeners find out?
So if you have any questions or are just interested in wanting to help as far as putting together the next event, I would go to learnyourparkcbus@gmail.com. And if you want to find out more about the Children in Nature Network and what they're doing, go to www.childrenandnature.org. That's children and A-N-D, nature.org.
All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
Again, that was Christy Lakey's interviewing Nicole Jackson. I'm Lindsay, here for Youth Beat. Now, with all this talk about nature, it might be nice to hear from someone making their living by working with it. Now, Joanne works with the Forest Service to study climate, habitats, trees, and everything in between. But she doesn't just love the numbers, she loves teaching. So when she wanted to take some time to talk to us about her work, well, you know we said yes.
This is Christy with Youth Beat Radio, and I'm here at the Learn Your Park CBUS event. And I'm here talking with Joanne, and I'll have her tell us a little bit about why she's here today and what kind of work she's doing here with the event and other outreach events related to kids and nature. So please introduce yourself, Joanne.
Hi, my name's Joanne Rebick. I'm actually a research scientist with the U.S. Forest Service, and I'm based north of Columbus in Delaware, Ohio. And as a researcher, ever since I was a kid, I've been really enjoy the outdoors. So I'm helping out organize this event where we're trying to get kids and their families just out exploring and enjoying all different kinds of activities that we had scheduled today. I've been doing this since I've loved the outdoors since I was a little kid. I grew up in the city, but had a lot of fun just exploring my local neighborhood and a park nearby, and just wanted to share that. I got so much joy out of it. I wanted to share it with other kids. So I do a lot. I visit with schools and go and work with teachers to help them to incorporate nature activities so we can learn more about the outdoors, about science, math, and all those things.
So I didn't realize there was a Forest Service office so close to Columbus. So what kind of work does the Forest Service do here in a metropolitan area?
Great question. So some of the work that we do involves study. We have scientists that are looking at climate change and looking at how, with the predicted change in the environment, how the habitat may change in different areas of in both in Ohio and across the eastern United States to see if birds might move into other areas, if different tree species might habitat other areas, say as it's getting warmer in the northern parts of the U.S., are some more southern species going to go there over, over a long period of time. We have scientists that are studying different invasive plants, which for in Columbus and in the parks and forests around us, how we might control them better so they don't take over areas where native trees and plants are inhabited. We look at ways to bring back species like a chestnut tree that was attacked by a non-native fungus, American elm, and looking at an emerald ash borer insects and how we can restore those species, whether it be in Columbus or throughout Ohio.
Okay, great. And what about here in Columbus as far as urban forestry? Is that something that your organization is involved with?
Absolutely. We have a large component of research looking at urban forests. Unfortunately, not much directly in Columbus. There's a lot of programs looking at how people use spaces, urban spaces in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, in New York City, that are within the same research organization that we have. But that's definitely a niche that needs to be filled right here in Columbus.
And then are you the organization that oversees the Wayne National Forest?
Another good question. So the Forest Service, I'm within research, which is a sister organization within the Forest Service. There's the Wayne National Forest is part of the National Forest System. So the only national forest in Ohio is at the Wayne, and they are scattered across the United States. So that is the main group within the Forest Service. And I'm in research and development, and that's a smaller component, and we collaborate with them, but we're a separate agency group within the Forest Service. And then there's another part, a third branch of the Forest Service called state and private. So a lot that works with municipalities, both from very small to big urban ones, with state division like the Ohio Division of Forestry to promote forest practices across those groups.
So I'm, being here at the event, there's a lot of kids running around and thinking about activities to get kids outside and to encourage kids of all ages to explore our natural resources here in Ohio. And so I'm just wondering what advice you might have for a young person, a teenager, or even somebody younger who might be interested in trying to learn more about forests here in Ohio?
Well, there, one, I would say first start with your local metro parks or city parks. There are wonderful naturalists that have so much to share and teach about, you know, exploring the outdoors. Just go out and explore on your own. Take a walk in your neighborhood. Start observing things. Just, you know, kind of slow down. Listen to the birds singing. And then use the library, the internet. There are all kinds of resources. And start educating yourself. And contact the Forest Service. Look us up on the web or the Ohio Division of Forestry, Columbus Metro Parks. There's all kinds of opportunities to be an intern, to help out, to volunteer. Working with younger kids in the classroom as high schoolers, you know, you could share a lot with them as well.
So, and can people come to the Forest Service office? And in your case, you're a research office, so maybe it's not really the place for the public to go, but are there Forest Service offices where people can go just to get more information as well, or would you suggest they just start going online and looking for resources there? I remember when I was a child, there was a Forest Service office above the post office in my hometown, and I used to go up there and I'd pick up literature and learn about forest resources. So I didn't know at the time I'd end up working in the environment natural resources field, but maybe it really did have an impact in ways I didn't think about at the time.
Certainly we have people come through and visit just, you know, off the street, and depending on who's available, they would, you know, love to sit and chat, talk about it. The research that we do there, visiting the Wayne National Forest, they have a visitor center there. That's a bit of a, you know, that's about an hour and a half from Columbus. And visiting, the Ohio Division of Department of Natural Resources has information there as well. And certainly, like as I said, any metro park, you could visit their nature centers. Yeah.
A lot of great ideas. So thank you, Joanne, for your time today, and let's enjoy the rest of the event.
Once more, that was Christy Leakey's interviewing Joanne from the Forest Service, and this is Lindsay for Youth Beat. Speaking of forests, Derby Creek Metro Park is home to some absolutely breathtaking forest paths. If you're ever looking for a good hike, I recommend it. On a sunny day, it's like walking through a fairy tale book. The good part, not the part with dragons and evil witches. Now, we're coming to a close tonight, but I think that we have time to finish off with a creature feature. This week's featured creature is the cicada, a large, fascinating bug that's looking to take over the northern part of the state in the coming weeks. Like most bugs, cicadas start out life as an egg, which are laid on trees. They are hatched as nymphs, immature and still needing to develop. When they hatch, they drop to the ground and then burrow underneath the earth. Just like humans, cicadas take some time to mature, 17 years in fact. Every 17 years, the now completely developed nymph comes to the surface and sheds its skin, officially becoming an adult. But after maturity, their life is short-lived, ranging from 2 weeks to 40 days. During this time, they mate and provide a veritable banquet for birds, snakes, turtles, and other animals who count the insects in their diet. During the day, the male makes an easily identifiable rattling hum that can be heard from about a half a mile away and always heralds the beginning of summer. And let's bring this episode to a close with a quote. This week, we turn to an unlikely source for inspiration. Winnie the Pooh, the adventurous and kind-hearted titular character of author A.A. Milne, once said, "You can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes." For Youth Beat Radio, this is Lindsay. Have a good one.